Amen. Praise the Lord. It's good to see everyone out this morning. Good to see this number. And it's fun to be in church on a Sunday morning. This is a good time to come to church, isn't it?
Amen.
Amen. We've been missing being with you, and so thankful for your understanding as just going through a lot of different things, I guess, the last few weeks, getting everything squared away for the wedding and all that, and I guess worked in a vacation and different things there, but just so excited and thankful to be back at home and be back in church this morning. If you will, let's turn to John chapter number 19. John chapter number 19, going to look at verses 17 through 37. And as it's already been said, we're having the Lord's Supper this morning, partaking of, and it's we observe open communion here, so if you're saved, you're more than welcome to partake with us, and thankful that you can do so. I think it's the first day of fall as well, and looking at the beautiful weather out there, the leaves are changing, and I thought it was interesting. We came back on last Monday, and we come back, and Brandy said, "It's fall already." I said, "Yeah, all the leaves are changing," and something else to see it take place like that. But I guess it's time. Thankful for the Lord's Spirit this morning and what I've felt already, and thankful for our class. It's been a good first class, enjoyed that, and I think it's going to be a real benefit to the church and to myself and to our young adults. I think it's really going to be a good thing, and I ask that you continue to pray for that also. Pray for our entire church. I believe with all my heart the Lord wants to move and do and takes people to do that, and so thankful that we get to take part with it. But yesterday, as I was studying or getting ready to study, and I was driving around quite a bit yesterday and out seeing a lot of the Lord's country, if you will, and taking pictures, and just seeing some beautiful places, and just thinking about the topic of the thought of what He did for me, what the Lord did for me. You know, when you think about a communion service, it's a remembrance service. This do ye in remembrance of me. Remembering what the Lord has done for us. And, you know, my mind at first was thinking about all the things He's done for me in recent history. I guess all maybe some of the physical things that He's done for us, and the provision that He's given to me throughout my life, and how He's helped me through some very hard times, very dark times, times that I thought was really hard. And when I look back over it and see that God was in it, I can see where He was very good to me and helped me through those times. You know, if we have a situation that's going on in our life right now, it might be easy for our minds to think, well, maybe it's not so good right now. But at the same time, I want us to look at the bigger picture of things. Let's think about where the Lord is this morning. I see the small picture a lot of times in my life where I want things to be just a certain way. It's like that sometimes in human nature. You want things to be a certain way, and if there's one of those things that's not aligned the way that you want them to be aligned, it would be easy to think, well, things are just not good. And that's not the case. My God has been good to me. When I think about all the things, Brother Dale, He's done for me, He's not just been good to me, He's being good to me now, and He's being good to me in the future. I just hadn't got there yet to see. Amen. You see, for you and I, we see the past and the present. That's all we can see. You see what you see today in this moment, and then we can look back from this moment through all kinds of things in our life, good things, bad things, or whatever those things may be, and that's all we can see. But Jesus Christ sees into the tomorrow. He sees into the future. If you could be seated around where He's at this morning, around His throne, and where He's at, He sees the big picture, and He sees the big picture always. The big picture is always in His mind. Isn't that something? That's a beautiful thing to think about. When we get locked in a circumstance, Jesus is not locked in any circumstances. He's God. He's God. He knows it all, and He has it all. And I just think about what He's done for me and how He's done many different things for me. And I was thinking about this yesterday, about what He did for me, but also the thought of what would I tell people? What would I explain to people? You know, I believe in giving references. Don't you? Have you ever given a reference for somebody?
If somebody's in business, you see it on the internet a lot. I need somebody that's good at tile work. I need a plumber, electrician. If you think back through your mind and you've had people help you in your life, you're like, you know what, this person is really good at what they do. I'm going to give this referral because I want to see you get the help that you need. That's a good thing to do, isn't it? And I was thinking about that yesterday, and the Lord just laid that on my heart, and I was thinking, you know, what would I tell the world? Who would I refer the world to when you see the world's in such a condition that it's in and the shape that they're in? And even more importantly, who would I reference a lost person to? I tell you, what would I tell a lost person today about what the Lord did for me? Not only the physical things He's done for me in my present or current physical life, but what He's done for me in eternity. We're here to remember that this morning, and I hope you can look back. If you're saved this morning, you can look back on this and you can recount the day that you were saved. And if you're lost this morning, I'd love to see today be your day of salvation. The Bible says today's the day of salvation. You can be saved today if you're lost. Nothing holding you back. I know the Lord wants to see you saved, and I want to lead you that way this morning. I want to show you some things. I mean, for me to be the referral that I should be, all I can do is just tell you what He's done for me. And I can tell you this, He can do the same for you. There's nothing holding Him back. Not one thing holding Him back. We're looking at John chapter number 19 this morning, verses 17 through 37. I'm just going to start with one verse, and then we'll pray. We'll preach by the help of the Lord this morning what He did for me. And it says here in verse 17, John chapter 19, it says, "And He bearing His cross went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha." Let's pray. Lord, I just thank You so much, Lord, for all Your goodness and kindness toward me, God. And just I think about all the things and recount what all You've done for me, Lord, and it's just amazing. God, You're just amazing all the way around, and how You can look at us and see us and love us and want to do for us, God, and provide for us if we'd just be willing to follow You, God, and be obedient to You, Lord, if we'll be able to accept You. God, I just pray that You get me out of the way today. Lord, anything that's hindering in our minds, God, I pray that You remove that. Help us to be in the moment today, not in tomorrow, not in last week, God, but in this moment today, the present tense, the big picture, God, the way that You see it, the way You see it from Your throne. Lord, I just pray that You help me to preach this message, Lord. God, the way You gave it to me, Lord, the way the Word teaches it and preaches it, God. I just pray, God, that somebody here today could get some help, Lord. A lost person today could accept You, God. This is the gospel, Lord. That's what brings men unto repentance, God. And that's how You chose for it to be done, the foolishness of preaching. And God, we pray for everyone that's here today. So thankful for any visitors that we have. God, we pray that You just make them at home, Lord, and just let the Spirit just have free reign, God, here today. Lord, just do what You would have to do here today. Don't let any of us hinder You, God. We just want Your will to be done. And God, we thank You so much, Lord, for this time of communion. God, where we get to remember things, God, remember what You did for us, God, and just recount that in so many different ways. God, I thank You for Your Word. I thank You for Your faithfulness. And God, I thank You for having a relationship with even me, God. Lord, I love You and I thank You so much. Be with us today, and I pray all in all that Your will would be done. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. You see this here as we get down to this part. The subscription in my Bible is talking about the crucifixion. I spent a good portion of yesterday as I was driving listening to the gospel accounts of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, and actually got down here to John and thought it was a little bit different. It kind of reads a little bit different than the other synoptic gospels. And what it has, and you see in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, it talks a lot about the brutality of the crucifixion. It talks a lot about what Jesus went through. It talks about the hard parts of what He went through. And when you get to this part here, you get to the account here in John, it's a little bit different. It didn't go into as much of what I would say is the gruesome details of the crucifixion. It says enough, but it talks more about His glory. The glory of Jesus Christ, the why He did what He did. When you think about the why, it's because of you and I this morning. He knew that you and I couldn't do what we needed done.
And he knew that he was the only one that could do it. It's amazing, as you see this account here, you're going to see a lot of scripture fulfilled that only Jesus knew. You're talking about hundreds of years of prophecy that was laid out. Primarily, you'll see in the book of Psalms, it was laid out, and Jesus knew how this was supposed to take place for him to be accounted as the Messiah. It had to be a certain way. It couldn't just be any old way. It had to be a certain way. And the Bible outlines that from people who had no idea that this was in the Bible. Years later, they would take part in the fulfillment of these prophecies. That's amazing to me. But only God can do that. And you have to see that this morning. It wasn't a reenactment. It was something that the Lord put together so he could know how it could be known, how we could know who he is and understand that. And what you had here was basically a false trial, a bad arrest, and a false trial that took place. It was so bad they took him at night and tried to hide it and conceal it. And even when they took him to the judges said, I find no fault in this man. He's an innocent man. Why did you bring him before me? Man, if it's this day and time you see that take place, it'd be all over the headlines. Some of this bad police crew trying to accuse somebody of something they didn't do and what have you. But you see, that's what was taking place. The one thing that they tried to accuse the Lord of, the one thing that they actually, I guess, in their mind made stick, was that he was saying that he was the only begotten Son of God. That's what he was guilty of, is proclaiming who he was to the world. That's who he was guilty of, what he was guilty of. Isn't that something? You see how it come down to be here, and how you read down through with Pilate, and they were saying, did I find no fault in this man? And finally, he just washed his hands with it and said, do what you want to do. The Jews, they didn't want to step outside of their law, but they had to get it done by somebody else. Their way of doing things wouldn't work, so they put him in the hands of the Romans for this to be drawn out and for this to be carried out. But you know, the Lord had a bigger plan. This is the way it was supposed to be from throughout all time, is the way it was going to be. But you see here in verse number 17, you think about what Jesus did for me. Now make it personal this morning. You think about what Jesus did for you. You think about that. Not only what he's done for you in these last few days of your lives, it's just as a vapor, what he's done for us physically, but think about what he's done for you throughout all of eternity. And you say, well, you know, you're talking about you, Preacher Jason. You're saying, make it about me. It's about all of us. Did you know that he died just for you? Did you know that? He died just for you. If you were the only person that was going to accept him, he died for you. Not everybody accepts the Lord. Not everybody accepts him. Not everybody's saved. Not everybody goes to heaven. He knew that. He was still willing to do that for just one person. That's why I can say he did it for me. I'm just one person. Sister Ashley, he did it for me. You think about that. Before the creation of time, before the foundation of the earth, he knew who you and I were going to be and how it was going to be. But he said, you know, if Jason is the only one that will accept me, I'll go. That's a faithful friend right there. That's somebody that loves you. You think about that. Who would you die for this morning? Who would you lay your life down for this morning? You know, I think about that. Of course, I think about my child, my children. I count Sarah as one of my children now. I think about them. I think about Brandy. I think about people in the church. Would you lay your life down for the wickedness that's going on across this world? Would you do that? All the stuff you see in the headlines that's being argued back and forth this morning, would you die for that this morning? Jesus did. He died for every single one of them. Died for every single one of us. He died for us. And you see here during the crucifixion what he was willing to do. The first thing we see here in verse 17, he bearing his cross went to forth into the place called the place of the skull, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha. You know, I thought about this a lot yesterday. Jesus bearing that cross and carrying that cross up the hill. He had already faced a lot of persecution before he carrying that cross. That wasn't an easy thing to do in a physical body. You know, they'd already beat him. They had scourged him. They were playing games with him. They had him blindfolded, and they were punching him and hitting him in the face and knocking him around so much that his eyes were probably swollen shut and that people couldn't recognize who he was. And they'd say, do you know who hit you? Prophesy, who hit you? That's not a fun game to play, is it? That's pretty bad, isn't it?
All this taking place. They even had him whipped and scourged before even finishing the trial. They already passed some of the judgment on him. Maybe trying to get him to confess. If you'll go ahead and confess to this, we'll do this quickly and you won't have to face all that. But you know, prophecy said it had to be a certain way. And Jesus knew that. You think about the plan here. There's no shortcut to it. I know you and I, sometimes in life, we try to find or think a shorter way of doing something, a quicker way of doing something. There was no quicker way of fulfilling what the cross was there to do. No quicker way. Jesus knew that certain things had to happen at a certain time, every step of the crucifixion, before it would be fulfilled exactly as the Word said it would be, which would proclaim Him the only begotten Son of God. And He knew that. Why? How did He know that? He is the Word. That's His Word. That's who He is. He knows. He knows how it was supposed to be. And He was carrying that cross, and He was carried up the mountain. And it says here, where they crucified Him and two other with Him on either side one, and Jesus in the midst. He was in between two malefactors. He's in between two criminals, hanging right there in the middle of the two. Doesn't go into this account here, the conversation between the two, but you know they both had a conversation. One chose to accept Him and one didn't. People say the one on the left or the one that chose Him was the good one and the other one was the bad one. I'm here to tell you this morning, they were all bad except for Jesus. Amen. We're all bad except for Jesus. You just had one that was willing to accept Jesus Christ for who He is. That makes all the difference. There's no merit on our behalf or anything like that. It's just lost people accepting Jesus Christ for who He is and what He done for us. That's what makes the difference, Brother Al. That's all the difference. I cheer Him on this morning, not myself. I cheer Him on. Amen. That's what it's about. And you see, He was the one in the middle. Not only is He the one in the middle between those two men, He is the one in the middle between you and God. He's the bridge. You can't get to God without Him. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. It's just Jesus Christ. See, the Bible makes it simple. It's not hard. There's just one pathway to heaven. There's not many. There's not a better way. There's not a worse way. There's only one way, and that's Jesus Christ. He makes it very clear. The man in the middle path, the only path that you and I can take to the throne this morning, to heaven this morning, to God, is through Jesus Christ. And it says here, verses 19 through 22, we see His rejection. He was rejected for you and me. You think about rejection, that's a hard thing for me. I would say this morning to you, openly, if the world rejected me, I would probably be okay with that. I want the world to accept the gospel, don't get me wrong, but I'm not as attached to the world as I am to you. I would consider you my people, if that's okay to say it that way, but what you see here, Jesus was rejected by His own. Rejection is a very hurtful thing. I don't think anybody wants to be rejected. But you definitely don't want to be rejected by your own people. I think that would probably hurt the most. You see, that's what happened right here, verses 19 through 22. It says, and then Pilate wrote a title and put on the cross, and the writing was Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. And you'll find that this was written in three different languages, Hebrews, Greek, and Latin. It was written for the entire world to see. Everybody knew what was on there. Nobody needed to try to figure out what it was or what it said. The entire world could see what it said. The legal system, the world system, the Jewish system, every system knew what it meant. It said, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. You see, you and I would accept that this morning and say, yes, He is. I go ahead and tell you this morning, I accept Him as my King. Proudly accept Jesus Christ as my King, regardless of what the world thinks. Again, I don't really care what they think this morning, but when I read that, I'm thinking, yes, He's my King, and that's who I want to be my King. Amen. Have you seen the kings around here lately? The kings and the presidents, you want one of them? I'll take Jesus any day, amen. I'll take Him as my King. But you see what they said here, the rejection of this. Verse number 20, this title then read, many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city. And it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. And also here, you remember in the Old Testament when they had to take the,
the sacrifice outside the camp, outside the community there for the sacrifice to take place. That's exactly where this sacrifice took place. It was outside the camp. It was outside. And the problem of it here with the Jews, they could see it. There was close enough, though, they could read and see the subscription on there. It's like, whoa, I don't like how that reads. We don't want this man to be associated with us. It's what they were saying. It was close enough for them to read. Verse 21, then said the chief priest of the Jews to Pilate, write not, King of the Jews. But he said, I am the King of the Jews. Don't put that we think he's our king. Put down that that's what he said. That's what he's guilty of. Remember, that's what he was trying to say there, that it was blasphemous, is what the Jews were trying to say. But I like what Pilate said here. Don't like much what he had to say, but I like this. He said, he answered, what I have written, I have written. You know why? Because it's the truth. If they chose to accept it or not, it's the truth. I'll tell you, that's the thing about the Lord this morning. You can choose to accept him or not, but he is your Savior. He's your only Savior. You can choose to believe that. You can choose to deny that. It doesn't change the truth of it. The Lord gives you a choice. You have a choice this morning. If you're under conviction this morning, that means he's dealing with you. If he's working on your heart this morning, that's him saying, you need me. You need me. I know it's an uncomfortable feeling. I understand. I've been through that. But well, I tell you what was a blessing is when the Lord convicted my heart to the point that I knew I was lost. And I accepted him. I said, thank you, Lord, for that uncomfortableness. Thank you, Lord, for loving me enough to spend enough time with me, Lord, that you would show me that I'm lost and help me to understand that. I think there's a lot of people trying to figure that out this morning. That's okay. That's part of the salvation process. You have to know and understand first and foremost you're lost before you can get saved. You'll never get saved until you get lost. The Lord has a way of showing that to us this morning. But you see, these Jewish people here, they rejected him. They did not want him. We see verses 23 and 24. Another prophecy was fulfilled here. It says, then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts. I suppose maybe there's four groups of soldiers, four different soldiers there. To every soldier a part. Also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout is without seam. That's to say it wasn't a nice garment. Remember, Jesus wasn't a wealthy person on this earth. He didn't come here with wealth and fame and what have you. He was categorized as a carpenter's son by some, but he was a humble person on this earth. That was the way he came. You know, he came as a humble person, as a child. I tell you, the next time he comes to this earth, he's coming as king. Amen. I tell you, I get excited when I think about that. But you see what they were doing here. This was a traditional thing that some of these Roman soldiers would do when they would have crucifixion is they would part out the person's clothes and take their clothes. Take their clothes away from you. Imagine how sad or how humiliating. I think humiliating would be the better word. You're hanging there for the world to see and you've got people at the foot of the cross parting out your clothes as you're hanging there naked for the world to see. Think about that. Why did Jesus do that? Did he do it for himself? He did it for me. He did it for me. Sin is an ugly, ugly thing. Today, when you see it on TV, you see it in the community, you see it wherever you see it online, you see it wherever you see it, it's played off as a joke anymore. It's just a big joke to the world. Everything's okay. It's not so bad. Things aren't so bad. Can I tell you, sin is bad to our Savior Jesus Christ. Sin was very bad. Jesus knew and understood that sin leads to death. And unless somebody paid that price, every one of us here today would have no hope. Nothing. We couldn't pay that price ourselves. Aren't you glad the Lord loved you enough to do this for you? You think about it on that cross. You think about it. You think about this. Let's say there's no pain to it, but would you want to hang out in front of the public naked like that for the world to see? Even if it didn't hurt you physically, I wouldn't. But Jesus said that's part of what's going to take place, and I have to do it for you. I have to do it for Jason. Make it personal this morning. Think about the big picture, what he sees. We get so busy in our lives and things. You think about what he sees daily.
I preached and taught a little bit on Wednesday night about having a mutual attachment to our Savior. What an importance it is to have a mutual attachment with Him and what He did for us. And you see what they did here. The seam woven from top and throughout. Verse 24, they said, therefore among themselves, let us not rend it. Let's don't tear it up. Let's cast lots for it. Who it shall be, who will get what, that the Scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, they parted my raiment among them. For my vesture did they cast lots. These things therefore the soldiers did. They didn't even know what they were doing. You look at Psalm, I won't go there, but Psalm 22:18 was a prophecy leading up to this. You think those Roman soldiers read the Bible and knew, hey, we got to do this to fulfill this prophecy? They didn't know that. They weren't Bible scholars. But the very act of what they were doing was yet another fulfillment of what the Bible said was going to take place. We see verses 25 through 27. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Cleophas and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, I believe that would be John this morning, he said unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. Verse 27, then saith he unto his disciple, behold thy mother. From that hour, that disciple took her into his own home. I see this here, how Jesus places people in our lives. Jesus knew that he was dying, and he knew that he was leaving his mother behind. How hard was that for her? Not much was said about Joseph after the birth there, but you imagine him looking down at his mother and thinking about how his mother felt. He knew how she felt, by the way. He knew. He cared for her. He knew how hard that was going to be for her in these days to come. And you know what he did? He placed somebody in her life to help her. Aren't you thankful for that? I was thinking about that this morning, yesterday, thinking about it. I'm so thankful for the people that God has placed in my life to be with me. I thought about you, just to be honest with you. Aren't you glad you're here this morning? Amen. Aren't you glad this is your support network? Amen. I am. I tell you, there's a lot of people turn their back on you, but I tell you, a good, strong Christian support network is worth everything. It's one of the things we've been talking about in our Sunday school, the importance of taking care of each other. This is the home team right here. And that's the way the Lord made it to be. You see it in Scripture. He was saying to Mary, his mother, behold thy son, he's going to take care of you now. I know I won't be here physically, but he'll take care of you now. Think about how hard that was for her to understand. While this was taking place, you remember when he was born, how she pondered things in her heart. Do you think she could have pondered that? She's trying to understand things as a human, trying to place things together. I'm thankful this morning for the people that God has placed in my life. I'm thankful for you this morning. We see here in verse number 28, it said, after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were accomplished, that the Scripture might be fulfilled, he said, I thirst. Now you look at that. Have you ever really thought about it that way? I go straight into I thirst and then thinking about the vinegar. But you think about Jesus in his mind, enduring all the pain, all the humiliation, enduring everything that he was going through, he knew that certain things had to take place before he could say it's finished. And he didn't stop before then. There's times in my life I've got to a place where I felt like, well, it's getting really hard now. Maybe I could say I've gone on far enough. Jesus didn't have that point. It was, I've got to do all these things until the very end. Until the very, very end. He knew exactly what it was about. You see what this verse is talking about here is Psalm 69:21. It's a psalm that was written by David. It was talking about he receiving gall for his meat and vinegar to drink. And it was a reference to this here. Now Jesus could say, all the prophecies leading up to my crucifixion are now fulfilled. The Bible is fulfilled. Isn't that something? You think Jesus had a few things on his mind when he's on the cross? Thinking about his word, thinking about its fulfillment, primarily thinking about us and the why he was there. We are the why he was there this morning. Paying our sin debt for you and I. You see verses 29 through 30, it says, now there was set a vessel full of vinegar that they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it up to his mouth. And Jesus therefore had received the vinegar. He said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and he gave up the ghost. He died there. You know, I thought about that. What's that mean? That was a bad thing to give somebody, a bitter thing to give somebody. But you know, the taste of death was a bitter thing for the Lord. It was bitter. You see the symbolism there. You know what the Lord took away for you and I, His believers? You look at 1 Corinthians 15:55 through 57. It says, "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." It talks about how Jesus took the sting out of death for you and me. What would you fear most today? You know, I think we think a lot about our children, things that they might face. You think about different things in our life that we could face. But you know, when you get down to the time of thinking about death, that's when things get really real. Been around different circumstances in law enforcement and other cases. You get closer down to the thought of actually dying and passing on. That's a serious time. Is it going to hurt? The Lord took the sting out of death for His believers. You know that? That's an amazing thing. When I get down to thinking about it, the Lord has thought ahead so much that He loves us and cares about us so much. He said, "I'll even take the sting out of death. I'll take that for Him." That's what He did for me. You see the symbolism of what He did there, tasting that vinegar on the cross. And He said, "It is finished. Everything is done. I've tasted the bitterness of death for every single one of you." But you don't have to. See, we think a lot of times in the temporal mind, we think in the short term. Jesus was thinking the long term. Jesus thinks in eternity. The before we got here and the way after we leave out of here, He's already there. He's got it planned out. He's got it mapped out. Look how well He mapped out all of creation. You just look at the crucifixion. Look how exact He mapped that out. He's got an exact plan for you and I this morning. You choose to accept Him and choose to follow Him. He's got an exact plan. See verses 34 through 35, and it says, "But one of the soldiers with the spear pitched his side forthwith, and it came out their blood and water. And he that saw it bare record and said, 'For the record is true,' and he knoweth that he saith true, that ye might believe." Jesus shed His blood for me. Again, I ask you, and I think about that. I think about that a lot. You think about what Jesus did, the slowness of it. The cross was not a fast death. That was a long, agonizing death. Again, this gospel doesn't talk about that as much as it talks about His glory and His power. But you think about His blood being shed. You know, I thought about it like this, church. In my mind yesterday, I was thinking, well, He knew He was going to come back to life. He knew He was going to live again. But you think about those hours on the cross in a physical body. Would you still be willing to do that? Even if you knew. Even if you knew after 3 days you were going to live again, would you be willing to go for that, to go through that for several hours on the cross? You think about what the Lord did for us in His physical body. But you know what? It was for His glory. It was for us. I thank God for His resurrection this morning. Amen. You see this right here, "But one of the soldiers with the spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. And he that saw it bare record, and his record is true, and he knoweth that he saith true, that ye might believe. For these things were done, that the Scripture should be fulfilled, a bone of him shall not be broken." You go back to Psalm 34:20 to read this here. I'm closing with this morning, verses 36 and 37. Again, "For these things that were done, the Scripture should be fulfilled. A bone of him shall not be broken." And again, another Scripture saith, "They shall look upon him who they pierced." Jesus went through this. He put all this on himself to take it off of you and I. You think about the sin. He was innocent. Just like I said at the beginning of the message, all the judges He went before. These were secular judges, by the way. These weren't God-fearing, God-believing judges. These were people of the world. If they had any reason
to have a false trial just to appease the people, it would be them. Even the world couldn't find him guilty. And they still put him to death. It was because of the fulfillment that would need to take place for you and I,
that we would have a way of salvation. Even the world could not find him at fault. They killed him anyway. You remember how they started, Pilate did? He said, well, we'll do it this way. We'll say, we'll give you Jesus or we'll give you Barabbas, whichever one you want. He's trying to back out of it. You know how politicians are, trying to make the people happy and save a little conscience on himself. He said, I'll give you whichever one you choose. Try to put it back on the people. Well, they said, give us Barabbas. It's what the world is saying today. I say, give me Jesus. You think about what he did for you this morning. You think about that. If you're here and you're saved this morning, you recount what he's did for you throughout your life. Even if you're facing hard times and hard things, uncertain times, he's already there and he's there for you. He's looking out for you. I'll tell you also this morning, if you're here and you're lost, he wants to save you. He wants to be your Savior. That's why he went to the cross. That's what he did for me, but that's why he did it, is so you would have a way of salvation. You and I would have a way of salvation. If you will, stand with me this morning. I'll invite the ladies to come.